Primetime replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. And in Career 360, we look at the manpower sector here and also your career in lifelong learning. Now, Singapore's 145,000 public officers will receive help in preparing for jobs of the future, with the setting up of a committee to help the public service transform its workforce. An agreement was signed earlier this week between the Amalgamated Union of Public Employees, the Public Service Division, and the Civil Service College to form the Public Service Cluster Training Committee. The goal is to get public officers ready for future jobs so that they can have longer careers.
And our resident career coach, Adrian Chu, founder and CEO of Career Agility International, joins us every Thursday to talk us through the career agility, today's disruptive environment, and we get to the side of this, yeah? Well, Adrian, how different is career agility or a career strategy when it comes to the public service?
Interesting question. One of the key fundamental differences between the public sector and the private sector is that the public sector has a lot of roles which are very, very specific, which have very little transferability to the private sector. So, for instance, if you are in the army, and for instance, if you handle munitions, there's almost no equivalent to that in the private sector, right? So there are certain jobs within the public sector which has almost no equivalents within the private sector. So they have to be able to understand, how then do I transfer these skills which I have into the private sector, so that when finally, if I do exit the public service, what's available out there? And more importantly, in terms of being agile, to see what are the demands of the skills, various skills out there in the market, which are similar to what I have.
So it sounds like they have to do an overhaul almost of their careers, learn something new completely. Because, for example, what would an old policeman do?
That's a very good question. Well, when we see that, there are old policemen, for instance, have actually a lot of various options. So for one, they could switch over to a quasi-government type role. They exited, for instance, like Certis Cisco. Or they could jump into a private sector security, for instance, like G4S or those type of private security companies. So they can find similarities, for instance, into those space. Mm. I know this guy, one of my old friends, who exited the police force, and he started his own personal protection services, which is amazing. So
sort of like bodyguards.
Yeah, bodyguards. Yeah, like the Whitney Houston type of...
dark glasses and all that.
You know how that turned out.
Yeah.
What sort of a transformation, Adrian, do you anticipate seeing within the public service workforce?
I think... in terms of these great plans which we have right now, which the PSD and the various organizations are trying to come in to transform the public workforce, I like it very much. In fact, when I read it, the first thing that came to mind was our great leap forward in the 1980s when the government decided to computerize everything. There was a huge NCB, the National Computing Board, was set up with the sole purpose of overhauling all the processes from paper. In those days, it was more like punch cards, I guess, to digital. So that was a great leap forward, and there was a lot of advantages coming in for Singapore coming into the 90s after that. I'm envisioning that with a lot of great minds within the civil service and outside working together on this, I would anticipate a very nice and robust framework for the workforce transformation in the public service. But it's left to be seen how the execution of it's going to be, because don't forget, when you talk about workforce transformation, especially in today's context, very fast-moving context, you're almost like, the analogy that's given is almost like you're trying to fix a wheel on a car that's driving at about 100 km/h.
So downhill, no less.
Downhill. Yeah. So even as you're trying to fix it, the environment changes. So once again, it boils back down to what we believe in, which is agility, career agility. How do you then do it? And a lot of times, you don't want to depend. If you're a civil servant or a public servant, you don't want to depend exclusively on the government or the organization to drive your career. You want to take ownership, and you want to be able to push forward. And that requires a lot of mindset change, and that requires a lot of thinking as well on your side.
So this transformation we might be seeing in the public service workforce, are there concerns about, say, roles getting... not roles getting diluted, but multiple roles that people might need to take up and diluting the core thing that they were hired to do? So if we use the munitions expert as an example, should he then be doing something else?
Yeah, in fact... We are looking at how organizations should overhaul the entire job descriptions to one that's distilled based on skill base. So instead of just looking at munitions, you know, but instead of just handling demolitions, whatever it is, you know, in terms of if he's a trainer, then are there skills that where he can transfer his training skills or training abilities, curriculum development, instructional design into something else. So they have to look at not just job titles, but they have to look at skills, identify them, articulate them, and transfer them into another organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adrian, I'm just wondering, how much faster must the public service transformation be, given that they will implement the raised retirement age before the private sector?
It's a very good question. I think we need to distinguish something about this. We need to talk about the raised retirement age, especially in the public sector. A raising a retirement age does not mean that the government is going to guarantee you employment all the way to 70.
Mm.
It just means that you
have the choice
to stay on working.
Yeah, and that also means that you have a longer way ahead to keep having to reinvent yourself and stay updated on the skills, which is quite onerous. It's quite tough if you don't have the mindset. So in terms of getting employees or government workers to adopt that mindset, they have to keep shifting. And you cannot just rely on government initiatives. It has to be very self-driven.
Right. President Halima Yacob also talked about challenges arising from geopolitical uncertainty. That's not something within our control, though. So how can the sector tackle this?
By identifying what these geopolitical issues are and how they can affect. So you need to understand things, how things are going to change. For instance, if you're looking at China's rise and their BRI, their Belt Road Initiative, how is it going to change the landscape in terms of logistics? So you know, if all of the shipments from China are going to go by rail and they're going to stop at Malacca, for instance, how does it affect Singapore? So in terms of if you are in logistics, in the army logistics or any other division in the civil service involving logistics, you have to understand that one of the shortcomings is you are in the public service, you're basically only covering Singapore. The markets for your kind of services are not in Singapore anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you then brace yourself for that kind of thing? So yes, geopolitics is definitely going to play a role in disrupting the status quo. The bigger question is, how you got to ask yourself, how is it going to impact me? And how am I going to adapt to it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the onslaught of technological advancement seems talked to death, but nothing concrete seems to have come out from it. Beyond rhetoric, what can employees start doing to identify their skills gap and quickly get upskilled?
Well, I think one of the most important things they need to do is they need to be very realistic with themselves. Look at your own skill sets, you know, look at what the market is. Our recommendation is take off your blinkers and start talking to people in the private sector. For instance, even teachers whom we've discussed last time as probably having the most ironclad rice bowls, right?
Yeah.
They have to understand that that there's technologies as well, learning management systems that are coming up, that you know, if they wanted to transition out of the public service into the private sector, they may not want to teach anymore because they've done it for like 30 years. What else can they do then? You know, can they train teachers? Can they help implement the e-learning bits? Do they have the knowledge and the pedagogy of teaching? Can they transfer it? So they have to embrace technology. And one of the best ways is to look outside the public service into the private sector and see what's going on there and what can they learn and what can they pick up. And you know what? And I always say the government has a fantastic slew of skills future funding which you can use for your own skills upgrading. So use it.
Because obviously it'll take some time for the stakeholders to figure out in this particular amalgamation, for example, to come together and figure out how to help the sector. So really it's self-motivated too.
Yes. And that's one of the things which as an organization, my company, Career Agility International, we want to focus a lot on a self-driven career strategy, a self-driven career plan which you create. And you don't want to wait till the company or the organization does it for you. You have to drive yourself.
Adrian Chiu, CEO and founder of Career Agility International, here with us on Career 360. Adrian, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.